right, it's time to listen to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. We keep this line open 24/7, 365 days a year, for one reason and one reason alone. And that is because there's not always time, you don't always have the time or the way to contact us when we're on the air broadcasting live. And sometimes you're listening on demand, as many of you do. And we know that you hear something that you want to comment on, you got a question about it. We want you to have a way of asking that question or making that comment. That's what the Issues Etc. listener comment line is all about. The number, by the way, always open for you, positive, negative, criticism, questions, you name it. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Now, as we listen to these comments, also feel free to give us a call right here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, September the 9th, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE. That's our toll-free number. Also, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. If you hear something in the comments you want to comment on, feel free, 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's begin with the question about the Issues Etc. Window or bumper sticker.
Hey, this is Marsha. I am looking for the bumper stickers that I heard advertised on the program. But when I went to your website, it did not have the Illinois address. It only has the California address. And on the advertisement, I thought it said we could send a self-addressed and envelope to the Collinsville address.
Okay, it's a good question. What is up there at the website? Do we have anything on the bumper stickers at the website? Jeff, is she not finding something that is there?
No, there's nothing there with our studio or office here location.
Okay, we like to have the bunker remain as secure as possible. I mean, all I do is I go from the compound down in Waterloo. We do a very quick kind of all the Humvees drive up from Waterloo and you know, storm through Collinsville and drop me off at the bunker. And so we like to keep that location more or less undisclosed, unless you want a bumper sticker. And then what's the address, Jeff?
It's LPR, 1600 Golf View Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, 1600 Golf View, G-O-L-F-V-I-E-W Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, IL 62234. And speaking of street address, where's the golf course around here?
Have you seen anybody play golf?
View, people think we're probably like on the country club. Craig, you're a Collinsville native. Why is this Golf View Drive?
Well, where the old Walmart complex is, which it's moved down off of 157, that was a golf course many, many years ago.
So this used to be a location where we could sit out and watch the rich and the famous?
You're sitting on the 19th hole right here.
All right. Well, it's an honor.
Oh, that's the hole I want to be on, the 19th hole. That's where the bar's at, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's why Craig picked that. Very, very witty. But, hey, describe our compound here. I mean, you described it as kind
of a bunker.
This
isn't a compound.
Mentality.
This is the bunker.
Bunker.
The compound is down in Waterloo.
Explain why you say it's a bunker.
Well, it is. I mean, dimly lit. We're provisioned for a long stay. We've got everything you could possibly need, at least to do radio. Craig is kind of our board op / bodyguard. You know, he just watches the door.
Party guy.
The windows are shuttered, and I'm not joking. The windows are shuttered. There's no
visible. Wait a second. What do you mean by shuttered? They're paper. Paper. I mean, shutter sounds like, you know, something wooden or, you know, fancy shutters. Describe our shutters.
They're large pieces of paper.
Large pieces of paper that are taped to the wall.
Yeah.
This
is primitive. This is primitive stuff. And let's see. What else? There is no visible sign on the outside of the building that anything's going on in here this way, which is the way we like it. Even the suite number is just written with a Sharpie up on the window, which is also shuttered on the front door. And then we have a very elaborate alarm system and guard dogs and all those kind of things to protect us during the broadcast.
Now, he talked about a dimly lit Wilkins studio. There's no light except the lava lamp. Yeah, his lava lamp.
That's the way I like it.
That's the only light he has, folks.
In fact, just
picture this. picture this. Wilkin with no lights on and his lava lamp. He's so cool.
The glow of my laptop, too. There we go. See, this is, it's actually quieter in here when I turn those lights off. It's not perceptible, but I can actually hear those lights when they come on.
Really? I'm not picking it up. I'm not hearing it in here. We know we had a ballast problem here that the landlord still hasn't taken care of yet, but they'll get to it.
But anyway, I mean, if you have been inside the bunker, if you have, and they have to go through a very elaborate security system to get in, and then once they're in, you know, we threaten them with bodily harm if they should disclose the location.
Craig also brought up, you do get some light from your glow-in-the-dark Jesus action figure behind
you. That's right.
You.
That's right. A very, very, very faint light. Yeah. We're listening to some of our comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line on this Tuesday, September the 19th. Jumping ahead 10 days. The 9th. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Next is a comment regarding a pro-choice caller yesterday to the program that Jeff had actually had a rather elaborate conversation with off the air. I think more than one. I think her name was Jennifer. Here's the comment.
Hi, I was just calling in response to your guest today on abortion. And I heard the caller, Jennifer, talking about proving when life begins or not life begins, when the spirit actually enters the body. What about scripture? We have Psalm 139 that says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. That's God speaking. And there are many, many more scripture passages that support life in the womb and why God is against abortion. I just wish, you know, that would have been brought up in your program today. Thank you so much. I really enjoy listening to you. Bye-bye.
Now, I'll explain why we didn't make reference to Scripture when we were having that conversation yesterday with Scott Klusendorf. Part of it was because we were responding to arguments that were made outside of the realm of Scripture, the arguments being made in favor of abortion. And Scott was responding to some of those. And in particular, the statements that have been made a couple weeks ago and then most recently this weekend by Senator Barack Obama on, you know, when life begins and what is abortion. It's a moral issue. He was making what we would call kind of left-hand kingdom arguments, that is, arguments from reason and prudence in the civil realm. And so we were responding in kind with those kind of arguments without making reference to Scripture. Now, the caller who called in wanted to talk about ensoulment, which is something we've already discussed with Dennis DeMauro, and we will a little bit later with Frank Beckwith. Ensoulment, and asked our guest, Scott Klusendorf, can you say when the soul of the spirit enters the body? And the implication, of course, was no one can say that, and since you can't say that, you can't say that abortion is wrong. Now, I don't know how that argument follows, but I thought Scott's response was very good. Let's just say for the sake of argument that we can't say when the soul enters the body. Again, I think this is a completely irrelevant question, but especially given the passages that our caller just a moment ago pointed out. But let's just say for the sake of argument that we can't say. Is that an argument in favor of abortion or against? And the illustration that Scott used was, if you're driving down the road and you see something in the road in the path of your car ahead of you, and you think it might be a body, it also might just be a coat, are you just going to drive over it? Or are you going to swerve out of the way and avoid it on the chance that it is a body and not just somebody's coat that fell out of the back of the pickup truck? Not knowing whether you're dealing with a human being or a living person is not an argument for abortion, but in fact the argument against abortion. You err on the side of caution and on the side of protecting life. And I thought his response was great. Now, Jeff had many more words with Jennifer, the caller, off the air, but I don't think it got much farther than that.
Yeah, we had quite a round about discussion a couple of times, but what she was doing was lumping in everything she was hearing on our St. Louis affiliate regarding Senator Barack Obama and affirmative action and welfare reform and all this stuff. She was accusing our show of doing that.
She was attributing that to us.
To us, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Getting back to this issue, though, the soul issue, to me, isn't it insignificant, but it's irrelevant, isn't it, in some sense?
It's completely irrelevant.
I mean, to determine, to answer the question, when does life begin?
Well, for the very reason that the commenter said, God claims to be the one who knits life together in the womb. Now, since God doesn't answer the question, when does the body and the soul come together, I happen to believe that it comes together when life begins, which is at conception. The soul doesn't exist before this. It's not as though God has a bank of souls that he dispenses a soul and then waits for a body to show up. No. And this creation of a human person at the moment of conception is God's work. So God doesn't answer the question, which means it's probably not a question worth asking or trying to answer. And then we have God saying, I am knitting life together there in the womb from the very beginning. So that renders the question of whether we're dealing with just a body or an ensouled body or a body with a spirit, none of it's relevant. I know that the middle-aged Christians, not middle-aged Christians, but Christians of the middle ages concern themselves with this because they had a kind of a less biblical view of man and his constituent parts. That's as simple as it is. Now, when we come back, we're going to listen to some more comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Gene Small, John Leyenbauer, Pastor Phil Pfeiffer, Kay Eikenberry, Cynthia Hall, Rachel Wolmer, Angela Omi, Charles Weiss, and Robert Wege, thanks for your support.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Bush administration is trying to protect health care providers from being forced to participate in abortion. Increasingly, pro-life physicians, nurses, pharmacists, and medical students are discriminated against because they refuse to help provide abortion services. The Bush administration has proposed regulations that would take away federal funding of those who do, and abortion advocates who claim to be pro-choice are opposing them. They're not pro-choice. Most Americans don't support abortion, so supporters of abortion want to force them to kill unborn babies. We need your help. Contact government officials and tell them you support protecting the conscience of healthcare providers. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org and send your email today.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Issues, etc. Christian persecution in India. Dr. Victor Raj will be our guest. We're listening to your comments from the Issues, etc. listener comment line. 1-877-623-MY-IE is our call-in number on this Tuesday, September the 9th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Apparently, Craig, our board op, just can't get enough of Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
Thought that was more our age. Benatar was big when we were, like, you know, in high school and college. Craig's 10 years younger than us. I didn't think he'd even know who Pat Benatar was.
This is a question I know I've asked you this before, Craig, but I always forget for some reason. Probably because I'm so hopelessly self-involved. How old are you?
First of all, I want my own mic. Every time that I come on the show.
You don't like leaning in on Jeff?
And first of all, Jeff's sick. And, I got to lean over here close to him and And frankly, when Jeff doesn't shower, the BO is a little too much for me. So,
which is quite often, folks.
Yeah. All right. So, but, so in other words, you don't want to do this John Lennon, well, Paul McCartney thing on the mic with
I mean, I like Jeff. Jeff's a nice guy, but...
Can you answer my question?
I'm 35.
All right, 35.
You know, I saw, talking about Pat Benatar, I saw
that's
her...
That's dog years.
Right. That's, I saw her at a show many, many years ago. I think back when it was still called Riverport here in St. Louis. And Pat Benatar opened for... I forget who the headliner of the show was. Pat Benatar did two encores as an opening act. When does that ever happen?
When you're Pat Benatar. And when Craig is in the audience rooting her on. Encore. Encore. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, the next comment is a show suggestion. Let's see.
Gentlemen, love the show. Better than ever since you've gotten on the air again. Have a question. I miss Deaconess Pam Nielsen and her Sunday school talks. Wondered if that's possible, or is the political climate at LCMS unfavorable to that? But would like to hear her again. Very interesting, very helpful. Thank you.
All right. Very interesting question. First of all, if you want to hear Pam Nielsen and her Sunday school talks, as the caller called them, this little segment that we used to do in the previous incarnation of Issues, Etc., Concordia Publishing House took that in-house, and they do their own podcast at their own website with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Since our firing, they began to do that. And you can go to cph.org, cph.org, and with a little searching around, you should be able to find the Sunday school podcast with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. They're doing it on their own. Now, he asks about the political climate of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, whether that's precluding someone like Deaconess Pam Nielsen from coming on the show. As far as I know, not. No. In fact, I imagine we'll probably be having her as a guest and some other CPH people as a guest very soon. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org, listening to some comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. What's up next, Jeff?
We're going to go out east to talk to a caller about abortion.
Hi, this is Eric in New Jersey, and I'm calling in reference to Tuesday's show with the DNC and Faith Talk and House Speaker Pelosi. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, and kill your unborn. It was jarring. I'm not sure if it is the role of government to provide food, clothing, and health care, but that doesn't mean much if you're not alive. I could possibly be persuaded to pay more to support those in need who keep their young, though I do feel I'm being held responsible by behavioral choices that I didn't make. It might also be easier to see government as providing more if they didn't waste so much of what they've already been entrusted with, what with pork and earmarks. When I reach into my pocket to help my neighbor in love, it takes my focus off of myself. But I want to slap the governmental hand that reaches yet deeper into my pocket. I resent that. Still, too, none of this amounts to much if you've been killed before birth. It was odd to hear progressives deny recent medical knowledge and imagery and to pull down church fathers from a medically less sophisticated time in order to continue justifying the denial of the humanity of the unborn. Disjointed or obfuscatory faith talk doesn't impress me much from either party. Thanks for everything you do, guys. Bye.
Wow, that really says it all there. I mean, that says it better than anything we've said recently on the subject. Thank you very much for the comment. What about the rest of you? Here's something you want to comment on. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. In about 20 minutes, Dr. Frank Beckwith is going to join us. We will be responding to Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, statements she's made as a Roman Catholic, that she feels her pro-choice position is perfectly consistent with what she thinks is a still unsettled question in the Roman Catholic Church, as well as statements made by Vice Presidential candidate Senator Joseph Biden to the same effect. Both of them are digging deep into Catholic history, and we'll see whether or not their reading of history stands up to the scrutiny of somebody like Dr. Frank Beckwith. A little bit later, we'll be talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, getting an update on hurricane relief efforts. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief, and then Wesley Smith will join us to talk about how the media is treating Governor Palin and her Down syndrome child, just born, Trig. We'll also talk about some new research that transforms cells inside a living body and may render embryonic stem cell research and the funding for it unnecessary. From New Jersey to Texas, here's a comment on the deity of Christ.
Hey, Jeff and Todd, this is Drew. I was just listening to your interview with a gentleman from Dallas Theological Seminary concerning the Bible passages of the deity of Christ. And I was just thinking that one of the things I've always thought about whenever I like to bring up whenever I discuss this issue is that the other major party whom these scholars like to cite is the Gnostics. And they like to cite them almost against the Bible, against John, and yet the Gnostics didn't have a problem with him being God. They had a problem with him being man. And so it seems to me that the idea that there was even any question that Jesus was God was long gone. There seemed to be the only question was he a man? And these scholars are trying to use the Gnostics, who had a completely reversed viewpoint of things, against us because these scholars want to say that he's only man, and I think that's just completely bogus. Anyway, that's my thought. Have a great day. Blessings to you all. Bye-bye.
Well, very insightful and very observant, Drew. Yes, the Gnostics I wouldn't call them Gnostics, full-blown Gnostics, but the advocates of the Gnostic Gospels and Elaine Pagels and others who would favor something like Thomas, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gnostic Gospel, over, say, the Gospel of John, do kind of paint themselves into that corner, don't they? They want to argue against the deity of Christ, and yet they do, using the writings of a heretical sect of Christianity, if it can even be called that, that had no problem with the deity of Christ, really had a problem with Jesus' humanity. Of course, Scripture teaches that we're dealing with two natures in one person, a fully divine and fully human Jesus Christ. It's the only reasonable way to read the scriptural accounts. Here's Kathy from St. Charles. Kathy, thank you for waiting.
Yes. You had just commented on Sarah Palin, and then you had said her Down syndrome child.
Yeah.
And I had contacted Fox News about this as well, that I think it's important, especially in today's world where language is so important, how we speak about the unborn or all kinds of issues. You would mention the child first, and then you mention characteristics. So whenever it comes to anyone with a disability or anyone with characteristics, you mention the person first, and then you mentioned the characteristics. So I think it's real important, particularly on life issues, that we mention a child with and then whatever their condition or characteristic might be, instead of saying their characteristic first, marking them by a deficiency or what is seen as a deficiency in our culture, and then saying that they're a person, what type of person, a child or an adult or whatever. So do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying, Kathy. Thank you very much. It's a much needed correction. Well, you know, it's easy to fall into the same kind of line and verbiage that you hear in the media. But Kathy's point is very well taken. Now, I mean, we don't want to take it too far. I can say my 4-year-old child, and I'm talking about how old the child is, and I'm not trying to put the characteristic above the person. But in the case of something that is as sensitive and over which there is as much debate, and the Sarah Palin case is bringing this one out, we'll talk later with Wesley Smith about that. In the case of something like Down syndrome, something that's viewed as a deficiency, we want to bend over backwards to emphasize that we're talking about a child with Down syndrome rather than Down syndrome as the prevailing characteristic, and they only kind of peripherally happen to be a child. Never want to be misunderstood as saying something like that. Kathy, thank you very much. Good correction. Thursday on the program, we'll talk about the religious and spiritual lives of American teenagers with Dr. Christian Smith. Friday, Elliot Miller will join us to discuss yoga. Where are they doing yoga? I heard this someplace. They're doing yoga someplace that really surprised me. They're teaching it someplace. Oh, it'll come back to me, hopefully in time for our conversation with Elliot Miller on Friday. We're going to go take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. This break is a good time to call. Kathy sets a good example, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor John Pless, on Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Indeed, it is a treasury of scripture, catechism, prayers, hymnody, and devotional readings cast within the calendar of the Christian year to assist the believer to pray without ceasing.
A Christ-centered, cross-focused family devotional from Concordia Publishing House, Treasury of Daily Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Scott Busacker, Martin Fabricius, Patrick Pooch, David Versiman, Pastor Patrick Malone, Pastor Stephen Stark, Willis Myers, Sherry Johnston, Lowell Hybe, and Ryan Janke. Thanks for your support.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes listening to your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Hey, I mentioned before the break that Christian Smith is going to be on Thursday, I believe. We're going to be talking about the spiritual views of teenagers. That particular interview, when was that originally scheduled, Jeff? That Christian Smith interview? We had Karen Gabriel out in Wyoming, one of our longtime listeners, both over the internet and also over Pilgrim Radio Network, and the inventress of the I Have Issues t-shirt. She had been bugging us forever to get Christian Smith on, and you finally got the interview scheduled. How did that work out again? Why didn't we talk to him?
The week we were fired, March 18th, he was scheduled on the 20th, and so we didn't quite get to do
so
that
he would have
interview.
Been a Friday or a Thursday interview. On that
Thursday interview.
After
correct.
That Tuesday when the show was canceled, and it's taken this long to get him back.
Yeah. And speaking of Pilgrim Radio Network, which covers all of Wyoming and most of Nevada, they're going to start picking up an hour of the show every week. Again.
Awesome. I mean, between stations and translators, how many signals are we talking about there?
Oh, probably 40 or 50.
Yeah. And those people out in the upper west of the nation, out there in the beautiful country, as I call it, they really, really appreciate Issues, et cetera. I make a special trip in January every year just to go visit them. And to thank Karen Gabriel personally for the I Have Issues t-shirt. I do. I'm not telling a lie. Next on the comment line.
Wait, hey, Todd, that's out on your way to Vegas, right?
No, I've never been to Vegas before.
I thought you headed out west.
Even if I had been to Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, so I couldn't tell you that I'd been to Vegas, right? I mean, isn't that's kind of the catch-22 of visiting Vegas.
Don't fool yourself. Todd never misses a Celine Dion concert. It's an annual event for the Wilkin family. No, Celine Dion, he loves her.
Celine,
loves her.
Celine is
with
no,
his lava lamp. Celine Dion, he listens to her, you know, an endless loop of music from Celine Dion before the show to get fired up every day.
And but she's not playing Vegas anymore. Yeah, you guys giving high-fiving each other over your Celine Dion references. I don't even know what she sings. My wife could tell you. I do know she has a beautiful voice. Something with the Titanic. Who knows? Next, a question about a pro-life third party.
Yes, I was wondering if y'all could talk a little bit about Chuck Baldwin and the Constitution Party. This party is supposed to be, from what little I know about it, staunchly pro-life. Yet I've heard some things that they're kind of come from the a biblicist, fundamentalist kind of point of view, interpreting the intent of our forefathers and whatnot in writing the Constitution. Anyway, I was just wondering if you could comment maybe on Chuck Baldwin, as, you know, in his run for the presidency and whatnot on the pro-life issues. Thank you.
We hear about the Constitution Party a lot on the program, and one of the things – okay, first of all, let me say you have to commend the Constitution Party because it is a thoroughly pro-life party. It's a small but thoroughly pro-life party. And if you read their platform, which is rather lengthy, the very first article after the preamble, which I'll come back to in just a moment, is about the sanctity of life, and it's worth reading, and I wish that the Republican Party's platform and the Democratic Party's platform read like this on the issue of life. The problem I have with the Constitution Party is its preamble to its platform, which in essence says that it is that the United States is a Christian nation, an explicitly, theologically Christian nation. And that is simply not true. It talks about the – well, I'll just read it to you if you don't mind. It says, the Constitution Party gratefully acknowledges the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as creator, preserver, and ruler of the universe and of these United States. I guess there's nothing technically wrong with that. We hereby appeal to him for mercy. And then it says, this great nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians, not on religion but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's where I got to stop and say – that's not true. This nation was indeed founded mostly by Christians. That's true. Doesn't make it a Christian nation. No more than, you know, I could go over to Anheuser-Busch and take a poll of the people who are making beer for you over there, and probably 80% of them would call themselves Christians. Doesn't make Budweiser Christian beer. It's the same principle. Just because Lutherans drink beer doesn't make beer Lutheran. Did you know that? Yeah. The problem with saying that this nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it just simply isn't true. It was founded by Christians, mostly, yes, but not on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the founding documents, either the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of the United States, is there one syllable of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus isn't even mentioned. And it's hard to make the case that this country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may have been colonized by people who wanted the free reign of the gospel, but when this nation was founded, that is, when we actually got around to separating ourselves from the powers that be and setting ourselves up constitutionally, the gospel of Jesus Christ was not part of the mix. And that's my problem with the Constitution Party. I mean, Jeff and I have talked for a long time. We had a guest on some time back. Refresh my memory on his name. That, you know,
Dr. Alan Carlson.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great, Dr. Carlson said, if we could have a party that is pro-life, thoroughly pro-life, and yet also concerned with the needs and the best way to organize our economy so that we don't have people who are starving, things like that. That would be nice. That would be very nice. But as far as I can tell on the Constitution Party, that's not what we're looking at. It has that major flaw of saying that this nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's an Issues Etc. listener who doesn't believe in Palin power.
Hi, Todd. I'm one person who's not so impressed with Sarah Palin, who's been nominated for our vice president if John McCain happens to win. I believe this woman has used her raw ambition for power at the expense of the needs of her younger children, especially her four-month-old baby, who is a Down syndrome baby, and doesn't need the nanny, needs the mother because of the special care that those babies need. I'm not impressed, and I'm hearing some of the evangelicals, like Richard Lance, that he originally even recommended her for John McCain's vice president. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't understand it. I'm hoping that you will be able to discuss this in some way on your program. She also has a Pentecostal background and belongs to Assemblies of God Church, where they believe in speaking in tongues is for today, and I believe it's demonic. So I think there's a big problem here, and it just amazes me that the whole country has just they're following this woman like she's some prophetess or something. It's just amazing. Thanks, and God bless you all for your program and your family. Thank you. Bye.
All right, Jerry, thank you for the comment. Well, first of all, let's clear up a few things. She is no longer Pentecostal. Technically speaking, she was raised Pentecostal, Assemblies of God. We don't know whether she believes in speaking in tongues. She probably does, but who knows if she does herself. She presently attends a non-denominational church, and that may in itself, in my opinion, present some other problems associated with the things she believes, but it may not have any bearing upon her ability to be vice president of the United States. Now, to the issue of whether or not she is forsaking her children to pursue the vice presidency, I think we're going to have to look very carefully at that. Now, should that preclude her from being vice president? Well, if that precluded her from being vice president, it would also preclude every person who's ever been elected president and vice president, probably in the history of our country, with very few exceptions. Probably Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt, to name a few exceptions. But, I mean, think about all the men who probably should have spent more time with their kids, who've served as our presidents. I think about all the men, vice presidents as well, who probably should have been at home with the wife and the kids. So that alone hasn't in the past precluded someone from serving as vice president or president for that matter. Martha in Louisville, Kentucky, she says, here's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops' rebuttal to Nancy Pelosi's misrepresentation of the Catholic Church's ancient affirmation of life at conception. Has this garnered as much publicity as the pro-choice propaganda put out by Pelosi and Biden? These two should be disciplined by bishops. If they repeat enough, it's truth for the mainstream media. All right. Well, a little bit later in the program, we'll pick up that subject that Martha raises when we talk with Frank Beckwith. In fact, right after this break, Frank will join us. He's a professor of philosophy and church studies at Baylor University and a visiting senior fellow at the Center for Ethics and Culture at Notre Dame. He's author of several books, including his latest, Defending Life, A Moral and Legal Case Against Abortion Choice. We'll talk with him about these statements made by Joseph Biden, VP candidate, and Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, both of them Catholics, both of them saying that they think their views that life begins at conception need not in any way color the way that they govern. We'll talk about that with Frank Beckwith right after this. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.